My grandfather was dying. It hadn't come as any great shock. A year prior, he'd got the diagnosis the family were dreading. Dementia. My great uncle had it too, and my grandmother, both dead. Within the year, physical effects were starting to take their toll. His memory was slipping more often. He was still at home, but a nurse came every day. At least twice a week, I'd pop in after work to see him. Some days it was good. He was the grandfather I remembered. Witty and charming, a genuine twinkle in his eyes, and a bit cheeky to anyone and everyone. He'd tell me stories like he used to, about his days as a fisherman in the bay, and the weird assortment of friends he'd collected over the years. The other days were bad. On the best of the bad, he'd sit silently, maybe mumbling to himself. On the worst, he'd rant about how poorly he thought Harold Wilson was doing as Prime Minister, even though the man had been dead for 25 years. A week before he died, I left work early and drove over to the little cul-de-sac he lived in. The nurse was just leaving. "Hello." "Hello, you going in to see him?" "Yeah." "He's on pretty good form today." "Okay," I said. "Good, good." The nurse left and I ventured inside. He was laid back in his usual chair, looking out through the large living room bay window. Beyond the hills outside was the usual strip of blue, a glimpse of the sea blending into sky. "Hello, Grandad," I said.
"Hello, Chris," he said.
I went over, hugged him hello, then headed to the kitchen, newly spotless after the nurse's visit, to make tea. He took his cup with shaky hands and took a sip immediately with a satisfied sigh.
"You make a good cup."
"Thanks, Grandad."
"How was work?"
I shrugged. "Usual stuff, I guess. Nothing too exciting."
"A job's a job."
"Exactly." He sat up in his chair and sighed as his bones creaked with a strain.
"And how's that girlfriend of yours?"
I smiled as he chuckled to himself. My suspicions never confirmed, but that my grandfather had been a bit of a ladies' man in his day, at least before meeting my grandmother. Although he hadn't met Beth yet, the fact I'd finally found someone I clearly liked brought him some quiet sense of pleasure, at least when he could remember who Beth was. They'd never met, but I thought he'd have liked her. "She's good. I'm picking her up in an hour."
"Don't let me keep you here,"
my grandfather said.
"No, no, plenty of time." "You've got to live life whilst you can. It'll go quick."
I nodded.
"Sounds like a cliche, because it is, but that doesn't mean it's not true," he muttered.
My grandfather looked out the window and took another gulp of his tea.
"Things will happen in your life that'll be on your mind forever. But if you have a good girl like..."
He waved his arm.
"Beth?"
"Yes," he said.
"Like Beth. If you have someone like Beth with you, you'll be happy. Where'd you meet her again?"
"Just walking along the beach."
"Walking?"
"Yeah, she just started talking to me."
"She talked to you?"
I nodded. I told him the story a few times, but he couldn't seem to pin down the details.
"Well," he said,
"very forward, but that's what they're like these days.
It sounds better."
My grandfather chuckled again, then stopped. I followed his eyes to the television, sat directly in front of him. It was off. Only his reflection bounced back. His head jerked around to look at me.
"Your job pay well?"
I shrugged.
"It's a start, really. It pays okay."
His head jerked back. I watched as his left hand found his right and began to pick at a loose strand of dead skin. "Beth's job actually pays better," I said.
"You've got to be able to look after her and yourself."
I said nothing but nodded again and took a sip of tea. My grandfather gulped down the remnants of his own.
Did your parents talk to you about the fish drought in 1959?
No.
It was bad that year, but you've got to provide for people. It was before your mother was born, and of course, she might not remember, though I'm sure we must have mentioned it.
His hand twisted the skin back and forth.
All the fish started drying up. The stocks.
Oh, right. Like now? Declining?
No. They all went. Very quickly.
We weren't that big back then. It was a proper village, not like now. Only a few thousand, I suppose. My grandfather said.
I sat forward to listen to another tale from the sea. Many of them were funny, but my grandfather's eyes seemed dull. He was somewhere else.
We'd been married, your grandmother and me, but your mother was a year off or so. I'd been fishing for, 5 years proper by then, but longer really. I was working on Jim Grant's boat. We noticed within a week, less and less of a catch.
Right?
It took us about a week and a bit till we realized everyone was the same. Nobody was having luck. Markets were practically empty in the mornings. A few people from the London restaurants were coming down to buy up everything we had before any locals could.
I took another sip. What was causing it?
Well, my grandfather began before a long sigh. We looked in the papers and listened on the radio, but there was nothing. We thought something had spilled, but no. We were getting desperate by then, having to go further and further out. Jim and me and the rest of the lads went out for 4 days at one point, and we caught basically nothing. No one else seemed to have problems.
4 days? Wow.
That's nothing nowadays, but back then, you'd venture out for a day at most, really. People were hungry. Your grandmother was hungry. Some people came from the council to test the waters, but they were fine.
I put my empty cup down and inched forward in the chair.
He started to trail off again, but snapped back to look at me, his hands still working the skin. Anyway, the lads pulled together, which was something, but we were panicking. I don't mind telling you, Chris. Jim's wife, Mary, worked out who was behind it. Anne Lockwood.
I frowned and resisted a raised eyebrow.
She got herself involved with a fellow named Harry Woodley, who worked in a boat. I didn't know him very well. But you. Well, he was one of us. And Harry Woodley had enough of Anne Lockwood one day, and got rid of her.
They broke up, you mean?
My grandfather nodded. Yeah, he two-timed her possibly, I'm not sure. But Anne Lockwood was a witch.
I winced and my grandfather switched his hands. He began to crack his knuckles, or attempted to anyway.
I sighed as silently as I could and rolled my eyes privately. People knew about her doing that sort of thing. Her mother and grandmother had been the same. I didn't know her personally. Possibly your grandmother did, but not well, mind. But she was a witch. Everyone knew. But it was all nonsense stuff, curing colds and warts and things.
I sighed again, but my grandfather was back in the story.
But this was different. Harry Woodley had broken her heart, I suppose, but she decided to take it out on all of us, instead of just him. I'm sure she meant it just for us. I mean, fishermen. But then she must have realized we fed the whole place. If we starved, everyone did.
I'm sorry, Grandad.
She poisoned the seas, you see. She cursed it. The fish, or the sea, or both. We weren't sure exactly. She was into something darker than we thought. She was angry enough to hurt us all.
I hid my face as best I could as he went on, still fiddling with his knuckles.
We realized it was her.
Everyone worked it out because she went round telling them. Harry Woodley knew straight away, but we didn't believe him, of course. But when she went around telling everyone in the pub she'd cursed our fish, cursed the whole stock, just laughing about it, that's hard to ignore. We begged her to stop. I watched his hands. He strapped each one to the sides of his chair and stared back at the television. We tried to tell her. We did. Properly, time and again. But she wouldn't listen. She must have been hungry herself, but I don't know. When you can do that to the sea, I'm sure money doesn't matter. We told her time and again, you've got to stop. We need the fish. Our wives need the fish. Our mothers as well. But she wouldn't listen. Jim's Mary was pregnant at the time, and she was really worried. Do you want another cup of tea, Grandad? We had to do what we did. I don't feel good about it, but that's what was. We took her out, me and Jim Grant, and Terry, and Mark, and some others. We sailed right out, halfway to France, really. She told us we'd suffer for it. Or, if we didn't, our loved ones would. Said there'd be reparations to pay. But by then, considering how difficult it was at home, Chris, we had to try. She weighed down easily. We expected something, but she just floated down like any other person. I tried to catch my grandfather's face, but it was practically sunken. It was so far away. His arms shook as they clung onto the chair. When we got back, day later, the fish were already back. Another week, and the stocks were normal again. Of course, we should have believed Anne Lockwood about paying for it. Nothing happened first, but when Terry had his accident, I did wonder. Then Jim and Mary's boy. That was the worst, of course. Mark died just a few years later, and his wife. I do sometimes think it was a coincidence, but... He trailed off once more. I wanted to move, but I couldn't. I shuffled in my seat instead. Grandad, do you want some water or anything? Nothing happened to me, though. Nor your grandmother, or your mother. Unless you count this now. But no, I don't think so. That's just age. I don't know why, though. I took her out on that boat and dropped her in as much as the others. No reason to spare me, but there you go. Maybe just coincidences, but we did what we did for our families. His hands released the chair. He settled them back in his lap and let out a long, long sigh. I watched as his eyes began to flutter a little. Grandad, you should get going, Chris. Are you all right? He turned, his eyes bright and open, the usual cheeky smile plastered across his face. You need to get going if you're going to pick your girlfriend up on time. I checked my watch once more. Are you sure you don't want anything? I've already had my dinner. Another tea or anything? No, no. I'll get myself some biscuits in a while. All right, Grandad, if you're sure. Yes, my boy. I was a little late picking Beth up. She smiled as I pulled the car up and kissed me as she climbed in. You okay? She asked. Yeah, just my granddad. You went to see him? Yeah, just now. Bad day? No. Well, he seemed pretty good when I arrived, but he got worse as I was there. Oh dear, I'm sorry. Beth said. She kissed me again on the cheek, and I smiled. We drove across the town, still quiet before the 5:30 rush. You're very good to seem like you do. I don't mind. When he's all right, he tells me some funny stories. But he was bad today, at the end. I sighed and shook my head. I don't know. He just told me this bizarre, horrible story. The other day he was ranting about the Soviet Union. He just gets confused, I think. It's got to be upsetting. It's not fair, dementia. There's no justice in the world. It's difficult seeing him so different depending on the day, I said. Why was the story horrible? It was just, he said that back in the 50s or something, there'd been some fish stock crisis where all the fish had disappeared. Then he said it was something to do with some witch apparently, that had cursed the seas, and that he and some others had drowned her or something to cancel the curse. Oh God, Beth said. I know. He doesn't mean it. It's just stuff all mixed up in his brain. He can't help it, she said. I know, I know. It's probably something on TV and everything. It's just, when he says it to you like it's real, it's... I don't know. It's just kind of scary. Beth nodded and took my hand for a moment as I changed gears. It's difficult with grandparents. You always imagine them like they were when you're a kid, looking after you. I nodded and sneaked a quick glance at Beth, half framed against the window. I only knew one of my grannies, she said. My poor mum. She had to grow up fast. I'm sorry, I never knew. Well, you don't miss something you've never had, I guess. We pulled into the estate, towards where Beth lived. I'll have to meet your gran at some point. You still need to come over and meet my mum. I will. You've been busy with your granddad. I pulled up the car outside Beth's house. She turned, smiled, and fiddled with a strand of my hair. I could come in and say hello to your mum now if you wanted. Beth shook her head. Not now. You're busy with your granddad. You sure? My other grandmother, the dead one. She died young. Kind of a family tragedy. She drowned. It was pretty terrible, apparently. My mother was very, very young when it happened, but she knew. Beth let go of my hair and leaned forward towards me. Her face stopped just before mine. I looked at her, ready to kiss. But something stopped me. Her eyes were locked straight at my own, unblinking. You might have heard of my grandmother, Chris. Her name was Anne Lockwood. I tried to pull my face away, but I couldn't. Beth stared back at me and slowly let the smile build and creep across her face. I'll see you soon, she whispered. My body fell back into the seat as Beth stepped out of the car. I caught my breath as she skipped up to her front door. My hand reached for the handbrake before she turned to look back. She smiled again as I drove my car away, my hand shaking against the wheel. A week later, my grandfather was dead. But I'm not sure the reparations have been paid yet.